I invite you to open your Bibles with me this morning to Matthew chapter 7. We'll be looking at verse 12, which is the very familiar teaching of our Lord called the Golden Rule. Matthew chapter 7. And I'll read in verse 12. So the Lord Jesus, still teaching His disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, says, "In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets." I have both the New American Standard translation and also the ESV. The ESV says, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Now this is an incredible bit of genius from our Lord. He's the master teacher. He is basically distilling the Christian life in one verse. We live in a world that is full of conflict and friction. We experience it as believers. It's experienced in a greater degree outside among unbelievers. But constant friction and conflict is inevitable, and it's frequent due to our own sinful natures, our own selfishness. And Jesus, in this one verse, gives the antidote to this poison in our veins of selfishness and self-centeredness by teaching us the Golden Rule as a standard of life. Contrary to popular opinion, the Golden Rule does not mean that he who has the gold makes the rules. Although if you look at the world, it kind of seems like it plays that way sometimes. But J.C. Ryle was so taken with this particular verse. He says that basically it should be used with all people in all times. Not just how we are to treat our friends or other believers, but how we're to treat unbelievers and even our enemies as well. The focus is so broad that he says it settles 100 difficult points. It prevents the necessity of laying down endless little rules for our conduct in specific cases. In other words, the Golden Rule can be applied to 1,000 situations that are not specifically addressed in Scripture. So it's broad enough that it can be applied in so many situations that you can't go and find a specific chapter and verse that addresses the circumstances that you're in. That's how incredibly brilliant this particular truth actually is. So what I want us to do is to begin by looking at the context of the Golden Rule. And the first thing I want to say is that to utilize the Golden Rule, you have to be operating basically by a biblically moral framework. For example, the Golden Rule won't work with the perverted values of a masochist. What's a masochist? Someone who takes delight in being punished and receiving pain. Well, if those are your values, you can't apply the Golden Rule because that would turn you into a very violent person. Because if I want to be treated this way, then I'll treat other people the way I want to be treated. So it doesn't work if you're a masochist. You have to have a basic biblical moral framework to properly apply the Golden Rule. But I also want to look at the immediate context of the Golden Rule. Because in many ways, what this verse is challenging us to do is to imitate God in His common grace goodness and His common grace love for people. Remember, in the previous section where Jesus is teaching on prayer in verses 7 through 11, remember how verse 11 concludes. It says, "If then, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" So God is good, and he gives good things to his children. And we're to imitate that kind, good heart in our relationships with other people as well. And even if you back up further in the Sermon on the Mount, go all the way back to chapter 5, we're reminded that we are commanded to imitate God in his common grace, love for other people, even his enemies. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." And we're to imitate God in that way. That God shows common grace, goodness, even to the non-elect, even to the unrighteous, even to the sinners, even to the evil people. And in this way, there's an aspect of that that we should imitate when we love our enemies as well. And then in verse 48, Jesus said, "Therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." So the golden rule is a way that we're to imitate some of these qualities of God in dealing with other people. God's general goodness and his general love for different kinds of people, the righteous and the wicked as well. And we see that really coming to a climax in the golden rule. Also, I want us to look at the larger Old Testament context for the golden rule. Because notice how Jesus ends this verse 12. He says, "For this is the law and the prophets." In other words, the golden rule is summarizing the essence of the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. Now, I just want to point out that this expression, the law and the prophets, was used by our Lord earlier in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, verse 17. Remember, he said, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." And then in chapter 7, verse 12, the golden rule, "In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets." A lot of the commentaries I read on this said that this is an example of bookends, where you take the same phrase, which is used in chapter 5, verse 17, and you repeat it again in chapter 7, verse 12, and this phrase, the law and the prophets, becomes the bookends. And within the middle, between these two verses, is Jesus' teachings on the correct way to understand and apply the law of God. The way his disciples are to live, the standard of righteousness they are to live by. So that verse, chapter 5, verse 17, and chapter 7, verse 12, both utilizing the phrase, the law and the prophets, become bookends with the climax being in chapter 7, verse 12, the golden rule. And in this sense, the golden rule summarizes the essence of what the law and the prophets are telling us how to live. So when you think about it, when you think about the law and the prophets, if you distilled it down, what's it telling us we're supposed to do? The law and the prophets. Well, we don't actually have to guess about that because Jesus tells us basically what summarizes the law and the prophets later on in Matthew chapter 22. And this is what he said. Remember, a man came up to the Lord and said, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And then Jesus speaks and he says to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So if you want to take the law and the prophets and distill it down, it's basically two commandments. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. The Apostle Paul echoed this same sentiment in Romans chapter 13, for he says, you shall not commit adultery, quoting from the Ten Commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. If there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Paul goes on to emphasize the same thing in Galatians chapter 4. The whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So that in essence, what Jesus is giving us in the golden rule is a fulfillment of how you love your neighbor, of how you love other people. You treat them the way you want them to treat you. That summarizes the law and the prophets. James puts it this way. If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. So in essence, the golden rule fulfills the royal rule of loving your neighbor as yourself. So this is why this particular command is so incredibly important to us today, because it tells us, how do you love your neighbor? How do you love your neighbor as yourself? You treat them the way you want them to treat you. So it's a very practical way of living out the commandments of the law and the prophets. So it's something that Jesus is emphasizing to his disciples, that this is how you love other people. You treat them the way you want them to treat you. Well, with that in mind, let's kind of break down the golden rule and look at the command in more detail. Notice, again, the general principle of the golden rule is you treat others the way you want to be treated. So this is a challenge for us, to treat other people the way we want them to treat us. And this is a principle that you can apply in almost all situations of life and dealing with other people. Now, this particular idea is found in the negative form among some of the Jewish rabbis. For example, Rabbi Hillel, one of the Jewish rabbis around the first century, is reported to teach, do not do to your neighbor what is hateful to you. This is the whole Torah. The rest is commentary. So he puts it in a negative. But Jesus's golden rule is more powerful and more profound, because he expresses this rule in the positive light and calls for disciples to consider the good way that they want to be treated as the way to treat other people. It puts us in their shoes and challenges us to think about how we would want to be treated in those circumstances. And then that becomes the way we are to treat them. Therefore, we don't want people to be mean to us. We don't want them to be cruel. We don't want them to be hard-hearted. We want them to be understanding and kind-hearted towards us. So that's how we treat them. If you don't like people saying unkind things about you, then don't say unkind things about them. Our sin nature resists this, because by nature we still have this selfish twist within us. We don't get our way, so we become resentful. We want revenge. We want retaliation. And our sin nature wants to not live by the golden rule, but by the dross rule. Well, what's the dross rule? You treat others the way they treat you. And actually, the book of Proverbs says, don't think that way. Proverbs 24, verse 29 says, do not say, thus I shall do to him as he has done to me. That's revenge. That's retaliation. That's not the golden rule. So Jesus is telling us, don't return evil for evil. Treat other people the way you would want them to treat you, even if the circumstances were reversed. That's what he's teaching us. That's the rule we're to live by. So we see the general principle, treat others the way you want to be treated. The requirement in living according to this moral commandment that Jesus gives to his disciples is that we must die to self. In general, we have to die to our own selfishness, our own desire for revenge. We have to die to that. It's only those who mortify the flesh and their own pride who can obey the golden rule. It's interesting, the power of the golden rule is that the more selfish we are, if we follow the golden rule, the more selfless we should become. If you think about it, treat others the way you want to be treated. If you're a selfish person and you want everybody to bow down and do your will, this, that, well, now you're to turn that backwards to them and treat them the way you want them to treat you. It would actually turn the most selfish person into a selfless person. That's the genius and the brilliance of how the Lord is summarizing the moral requirement of the law and the prophets. Actually, this is echoed again by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2. It harmonizes with what Paul teaches as well when he says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Don't merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So the golden rule is telling us is to die to your own selfishness, your own pride. Consider how you want to be treated, but then turn that back and treat other people that way. So that's the requirement. The third thing we can learn about this particular command is that it's all in the present tense, which means this is to be our ongoing, everyday lifestyle, attitude, and action. It's not just for particularly hard situations. It's the general principle we're to follow in life is to live by the golden rule. And notice the scope of the golden rule. It says, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. You see, the golden rule can be applied to all areas of life. Politics, social, economic, national, international. If people follow it can be applied to all areas of life. I mean, think about it. How many wars would be diverted if both sides had the grace to respond according to the golden rule? How many divorces would never come about? How many petty lawsuits would not be filed? How many crimes or civil wars or acts of political violence would be avoided if people lived by the golden rule? And all the fact that our world is so full of all that stuff just indicates the testimony of the fact that we live in a sin-cursed world. Even in theological differences that we have with other people, I'm not talking about heresies, but on secondary issues where within the church we may have differences, if we apply the golden rule, you're going to keep that discussion at a peaceful level. Again, if it's a heresy, you come out with guns blazing, I understand. We don't compromise the truth, but we still speak the truth in love. That's what the golden rule would have us do. We speak the truth with graciousness. And again, there may be exceptions for sure. But we speak the truth in love and with graciousness. That's applying the golden rule in areas of theology where people may differ. Notice also that the golden rule puts the emphasis on you. How do you want to be treated? Then treat other people the same way. The pronoun you occurs twice here. Treat people the same way you want them to treat you. So we're to evaluate, assuming a biblical moral compass, how I want to be treated. And then that's the way we treat other people. Again, the Lord is just putting the focus back upon the believer to just think of how you want people to react to you, to speak to you, to behave towards you. And that becomes the standard of which we do the same to other people. And then notice, as I've already emphasized, that the golden rule is designed to fulfill the law and the prophets, which is basically to teach us how to love other people, to love our neighbor as ourselves. We do it primarily by living out the principles of the golden rule. And all of this, of course, is impossible for us without the grace of God. By nature, we are selfish sinners. We want our way, and because of that, conflicts arise. And the golden rule is rooted in the law, which says the greatest commandment is to love God. And when you love God, what flows out of that is to love our neighbor as ourself. And we're to love God because God is a good God. We're to love God because He has sent His Son to die on the cross, to shed His blood, to pay the penalty for our sins, that whoever believes in Him might not perish but have everlasting life. And in response to God's love for us and His redeeming love in Jesus Christ, we respond in loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Again, it's impossible to do that without the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ. And those who recognize their utter failure in treating other people this way, they can acknowledge their sin and repent of it and turn from it and put their faith and trust in Christ alone to forgive them. And God will give them grace to move closer to living their life according to the golden rule. It's out of the Father's good gifts of forgiveness and salvation that should motivate us not only to return our love to God, but to love other people, because we have been the beneficiaries of such incredible kindness and love and goodness from our God. So how do we apply the golden rule? Well, several things. We should start with ourself. Again, how do I like to be treated? What is helpful for me in communicating with others? What encourages me? If I was in their shoes, how would I want them to treat me? So when we apply the golden rule, we start with the standard Jesus says. How do you want people to treat you? And then treat them that way. So how do you like to be treated? Well, just a few examples of this. When you're talking to someone, how do you want them to respond? You want them to listen? Or do you want them to pull out their phone and be flipping through their texts while you're talking to them? No, you want people to be respectful, right? You want people to be kind enough to listen, to show that they're interested in what you have to say. We want people to value our opinion, not to interrupt us when we're in the middle of trying to express ourselves. That's the way we want to be treated, right? So treat other people the same way. You want them to hear you out? Well, then you hear them out. Don't interrupt them. Don't, you know, act like you're bored to death. How about when you're driving? You're in busy traffic and you need to change lanes, and the car's next to you, you have your blinker on, but no one's slowing down to give you a gap. How would you want to be treated? You'd want someone to slow down and let you change lanes and get in there. Treat them the same way. You know, you see someone wants to move over into the lane, you slow down, you let them in. You treat them the way you would want them to treat you. So you're at a red light, car in front of you, light turns green, they're not moving. How do you treat them? Don't be like my friend in seminary. We were in a Volkswagen Beetle back in the 70s, and we pulled up to a red light. There's a car in front of us, light turned green, and I mean, he didn't give this guy a second. His window was rolled down. He stuck his head out the window and he yelled out as loud as he could, "Move it!" Is that the way you want people to treat you? So we treat them the way we want to be treated. So even in that, so if you apply the golden rule, it should stop all road rage on the highway. We should want to treat other people the way we want them to treat us. How about when you borrow things from somebody? Do you ever loan stuff to somebody and you don't see it for a long, long time? How do you want people to treat you? You want them, well, after they've used it, to return it. Well, do the same thing. Return things promptly after you've borrowed them and used them. It's interesting, just within the last couple of days, I was given two books that were borrowed from the church library 18 years ago. That's fine. I mean, we don't have imposed fines or anything like that. But when you borrow things, again, treat others the way you want them to treat you. When you mistreat someone, or you sin against someone, or you injure someone, what should you do? Well, if they sinned against you and injured you, how would you want them to treat you? You would want them to humble themselves and come and acknowledge it and ask for forgiveness. Treat them the same way. Humble your pride and go ask for forgiveness. If you have sinned against someone, if you've mistreated them, if you've hurt their feelings, you go and you treat them the way you would want to be treated. Respect the boundaries of other people. Give credit to whom credit is due at work or school or in sports. Show appreciation for the work and service of other people. You want people to appreciate your work, your service. You want people to give credit to you when you achieve something. Treat them the same way. The golden rule applies in all those different circumstances. If it's good to give constructive criticism, do it kindly. Speak truth in love, not with a sledgehammer. Because if someone needs to come out and be critical of you, you want them to do it with kid gloves and love and graciousness and gentleness, not beating you on the head. So treat them the way you want them to treat you. And the golden rule doesn't mean treat them that way so that they will treat you in actuality. It's not like you're trying to buy their kind responses to you. Regardless of how they respond to you, we're to treat others the way we would want them to treat us. regardless of it's how they actually treat us or not. It's how we want them to treat us. That's the standard of the golden rule. In times of conflict, put yourselves in their shoes. How would I want to be treated if I were in their shoes? And then you treat them that way. How about in games? You're playing spades. One player wants to go kneel, which means they get 100 points if they don't take a trick, if you're familiar with the card game. And if they take a trick, they lose 100 points. So there's three players. One player plays the four of hearts. The one going nil plays the five of hearts, which means they're going to take that trick and they'll lose 100 points. You're the third player. You've got a three of hearts, which you could play, and the one going nil has to take a trick and they lose 100 points. Or you've got a nine of hearts in your hand and you can play that. What do you do? You play the three and ask for forgiveness later. So I'm not sure the golden rule applies in card games or sports. You know, we don't want to fall back into this thing. You know, there's no winners or losers. Everybody gets a participation trophy or whatever like that. No, so the golden rule, you know, there's obviously in competitive aspects, there's times when probably you don't have to, but you can still do it then. It just depends on how the thing goes. I'm getting out of my league here. But there's many different ways to apply the golden rule in all different kinds of situations of life. But it always begins, how do you want people to treat you? And then that's how you treat them. That's the golden rule. We also can ask ourselves the diagnostic question, how do I not want to be treated? So there is a negative side to this. Consider what you don't like, and then don't treat other people that way. You don't like people who embarrass you. You don't like people who humiliate you, or who are impatient with you, or who hurt you with their cruel words. We don't like it when people get mad and irritated at us, and they blurt out something and telling us that our facts are all wrong, and they arrogantly begin to correct us, telling us that we don't know what we're talking about. We don't like people to treat us that way, so don't treat them that way. We want people to speak to us in respectful, kind language, being patient, that doesn't attack us or put us down. So treat them that way. That's the golden rule. We don't like people who are just argumentative. Someone once said that discussions are always better than arguments, because an argument is to find out who's right, while a discussion is to find out what is right. So an argument is I'm proving that I'm right and you're wrong. And that can just be a contest of egos when you argue in that spirit. But a discussion can be very profitable, because you're trying to figure out what is right. And maybe you're right, maybe I'm wrong, or vice versa. But it takes some of the ego out of it, which I think is always helpful. Fortunately, we also have a great example of the golden rule in the Old Testament, because Jesus said that the golden rule basically is in harmony with the law and the prophets. And we see a great example of the golden rule in Deuteronomy chapter 22. And I'll read four verses for you. So Moses, God is giving this to Moses. In effect, it's the outworking of the golden rule in Deuteronomy. It says in chapter 22, verse 1, "You shall not see your countryman's ox or his sheep straying away and pay no attention to them. You shall certainly bring them back to your countrymen. If your countryman is not near you, or if you do not know him, then you shall bring it home to your house, and it shall remain with you until your countryman looks for it. Then you shall restore it to him." That's the golden rule. Treat others the way you want them to treat you. If your donkey got lost, this is how you would want them to take care of your property till you can find it. So treat them the same way. That's the golden rule. It goes on to say, "Thus you shall do it with his donkey, and you shall do the same with his garment, and you shall do likewise with anything lost by your countryman, which he has lost and you have found. You are not allowed to neglect them. You shall not see your countryman's donkey or his ox fallen down on the way and pay no attention to them. You shall certainly help him to raise them up." Again, this is just application of the golden rule. So it does, in fact, summarize the basic essence of loving our neighbor as ourself. So again, just by way of emphasizing it, the golden rule tells us to live by the law of love. It's the application of the law of love to 1,000 different circumstances of life. So the golden rule is the law of love in action. It's telling us that our heart should have compassion and empathy and sympathy towards other people. We should help out not because we have to, but because we genuinely care for them and love them. We put ourselves in their shoes and would appreciate them doing the same for us if the circumstances were reversed. The golden rule is rooted in loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Even if they don't reciprocate the love, we're still commanded to show them that grace and that kindness. And again, it's impossible without the grace of God in our hearts. We just struggle and fail constantly. But this is what our Savior, this is what our King, this is what our Master is commanding His disciples to live by. The golden rule. One final aspect of this. Interestingly enough, the golden rule lies behind the First Amendment to our Constitution when it emphasizes religious liberty. Dr. Peter Littleback, who's the president of Westminster Theological Seminary, he's now retired, but he was in Oklahoma City in a conference back in 2019. And in his talk, he's a great historian. He wrote a phenomenal biography on George Washington. But in his talk, he said that Roger Williams, the founder of Rhode Island, the colony of Rhode Island, was a staunch advocate for religious liberty, which he based in part on Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, the golden rule. And he reasoned this way: if I don't want to go to jail for my religion, then I don't want to put others in jail for their religion. Think about it. It's a golden rule. If I don't want to go to jail for my religion, then I don't want to put others in jail for their religion. And William Penn, founder of Pennsylvania, had the same conviction. His view is that if we want religious freedom, let us give religious freedom to others. based on the golden rule. Treat others the way you want them to treat you. It's an interesting historical background for the reasoning that came up to religious liberty that's enshrined in our First Amendment, in our Constitution. Well, the Lord is challenging us all to live by the golden rule. It will call upon us to die to self, to consider how we want to be treated in those circumstances, and then treat others that way. It takes a whole lot of grace for us to live by the golden rule, because we're to imitate God in His general goodness and His common love for even His enemies. And we're to treat others the way we want them to treat us. Again, only believers can come close to living by this, because it takes saving grace from God to do it. And since we have received salvation and forgiveness from Jesus Christ, we've been adopted into His family. We have the inheritance of eternal life waiting for us. He has showered upon us these incredible good gifts of salvation through His Son. It should cause us to respond in love for God in return for His love for us, and also to love our neighbor as ourselves, which is carried out and applied in the golden rule. The golden rule really is revolutionary living. It's gospel living. It will not only transform us, but whenever by the grace of God we're able to implement it, it will be an incredible witness to others and bring glory to God because of His grace that's operating in our life. So with the help of God, your assignment and my assignment for the coming week is to not just be a hearer of the Word, but be a doer of the Word. Think about the golden rule every day. Think of how you can live it out, not just hear it preached. And pray for God to give us the grace to humble us, that we might live in light of this incredible commandment from the lips of our Lord, to treat people the same way you want them to treat us. Well, let's close in prayer. Our Father, I certainly feel convicted to the bone as I think about this incredible teaching, and how oftentimes we're just so captured by our own desires and our own self-will. But Father, we just pray that You would give us the grace to turn our eyes upon Jesus Christ, to see the greatest gift that You could ever give to sinners, and that's the gift of Your Son and His precious blood, His atoning death that has rescued us from the hell that we deserve. For by nature we are children of wrath, but by Your goodness and grace we've been made children of God. And Lord, may we love You in response and desire to obey You in loving others. And so, Lord, just fill our hearts with Your Spirit and Your grace and Your glory, that with Your help, our lives might be bent a little closer to the golden rule. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together and turn to hymn 353, I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord. 353.